I'm not here right now. I'm actually in Malta with the family. We're going away for 7 days. So yeah, there's not going to be any bit before the theme music because I'm not here to record it, am I? I'm overseas, okay? So no bit before the theme music. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says team, trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode of the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Let's start off with the interactive bit. How you doing? No, yeah, I'm on holiday. Yeah, I am. No, the kids have been really annoying. But they got like a kids club. So we just chuck them in there for the day. And then me and the wife just sit by the pool getting drunk. It's fantastic. Yeah. Malta. Did I already say that? Anyway, that's where we are. Okay. Good to see you. And scene. So yeah, as I'm sure you established there, as we were having that conversation, I'm on holiday this week, so I've had to record this like within a few days of finishing recording the previous episode. So what I'm saying is, probably going to be a bit shabby, kids. I know it's always a bit shabby, so that's good or bad, your choice. So I got an email from, I haven't heard from him for a while actually, to be honest, I thought he'd stopped listening. But he's still there, that's our anonymous technology correspondent. And this is what his email says. No time for niceties, this is important. I'm sure you've heard the scoundrel Tim Babb has done a whole segment on the Yule Lads. And he heard about them from a very funny and beloved British presenter of a Christmas institution. That's right, Sandy Toksvig on QI. But luckily, he does admit to it being covered in more detail by another highly recommended Christmas podcast. That's right, Weird Christmas Podcast. Damn you, Bab! Not a single mention of the weeks we all had to endure of those Yule Lads on the Total Christmas Podcast. He didn't even do a crappy jingle for them. This got me thinking, what could the Total Christmas Podcast have done to anger Bab? And then I remembered, Mince Pie Gate. This is revenge served ice cold. All the best, your anonymous technology correspondent. So there you go. Thanks for that, by the way, my ATC. If you're not familiar with Mince Pie Gate, well, you should be, because back in episode 9, I talked about it on the podcast, how Tim Babb on Can't Wait for Christmas was having a poll of the best Christmas foods, and mince pies won against, I think it was against Christmas cake, and Tim Babb couldn't understand it. He was quite surprised, and it was because someone had rigged it up. I don't want to say who, but let's just say he's anonymous because he rigged the voting on that. And I emailed Tim for his thoughts on it, and he wasn't that impressed, to be honest. He was a little bit disappointed. So yeah, that could well be the reason why he's completely ignoring my podcast. It could be that just never listens to it. I mean, I listen to his. I think it was my first ever episode was the one where I recommended Can't Wait for Christmas. When I first listened to it, I nearly did it because I listened to it before I started mine. And when I first found it, I was like, oh, should I even bother starting my one? This is so good. I don't need my one. But then I thought, well, you know, you've got to have that cheap alternative, haven't you? You've got to have like the own brand version. And that's what I am, I suppose. Yeah, so there you go. If you want to learn more about the Yule Lads, don't listen to his podcast where he brushes over it. I spread it out over like a dozen episodes. Actually, it might have been 13 episodes. It was a lot of talk about Yule Lads on this show. And I remember that a lot of people were getting sick of it by the end of it. Not me, I loved that segment. Anyway, thank you so much for getting in touch, ATC of the TCP. Great to hear from you, and yeah, thanks for letting me know that, yeah, stuff, innit? Yeah, well, I guess that's it for my housekeeping stuff, so we might as well get on with the show, and we're going to start it right about now.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is the Little Fox adaptation. It's just pretty much Little Fox, A Christmas Carol. That's what it's called. I've covered similar ones to this. It's like a very short version, but it's like for learning English, I think. And what you've got is the story of A Christmas Carol, and it's got the writing at the bottom. Now, the company Little Fox, they're a company that help you learn English as a second language, ESL, as they call it. And you can buy books for every one of the stories they've got that comes with an MP3, and you can read along as you're watching the story, as it's been read out to you. They've done over 5,000 stories, would you believe? 5,000 stories, and they do like a new one. It was either every day or every week. I think it's every day. From Monday to Friday. Yeah, so if you want to like listen to loads of stories, that's the place to go and do it. I'm not going to talk about the other stories. I'm just going to talk about their version of A Christmas Carol. Now, it's one of those ones where you're watching the animation, but someone's narrating it over the top, like through the whole story. It's not just a cartoon where you've got the characters interact. There is talking between the characters. Well, how about I just play a bit for you and you'll get the idea.
Suddenly, they heard a cheerful cry.
Merry Christmas, Uncle!
It was Scrooge's nephew.
So do you see what I mean there? Yeah, she sort of talks and then someone else does the voiceover and then she carries on talking. And it's 18 minutes long. I couldn't find much information about this, but it's been on YouTube for 2 years. So does that mean it was made 2 and a bit years ago, or is that when they put it on YouTube? I can't tell you that. I wish I could, because I know that is the one thing that's missing in your life as we speak. I can't make you whole. That's your job. The road to self-actualization is in your hands. I'm just here to tell you about this crappy version of A Christmas Carol, which isn't that crappy, actually. When I've done other versions that are like the watch along and read your book things, some of those have been pretty naff. They've veered off from the story, they've added bits, they've got some weird old characters on there. This one is pretty true to the original. The animation's not bad. It's got a touch of the manga about it. Not like proper manga, but a little bit. And I say the animation's not bad, it's not good, don't get me wrong. It's choppy in places and the movement is quite stilted, but you know, it could be a lot worse. So I'll go through it and I'll tell you what they miss out. And you know what? They don't miss out that much. They do all right. So it starts off in Ebenezer Scrooge's counting house, as you'd expect, and he's having a go at Bob for some reason. In comes Fred, and he chats to Fred, and this was something they did add, actually. Now, if you read A Christmas Carol, there are suggestions about the birth of baby Jesus being the reason for Christmas Day, but he doesn't actually say it outright. There are allusions towards it throughout the book 3 or 4 times, but they don't actually outright mention Jesus by name. And I'll play it for you, actually. This is what Fred says.
Christmas is a time to remember the birth of Jesus and to be kind, forgiving, loving, and pleasant to others. It is a time to know that all people are brothers and sisters. While it may not bring me profit, I say God bless Christmas.
I thought that was quite interesting that they decided to go that way. Yeah, Fred does his bit and asks Scrooge if he wants to come home for Christmas dinner. And Scrooge, of course, says no, so Bob goes home. And then in come the portly gentlemen. And they're not portly. I think they've been spending a bit of time down the gym. Actually, they're in pretty good shape. And they ask Scrooge for some money. And although the dialogue is different to the book, the sentiments are pretty much the same. He doesn't do a bad job there. They leave. Then we find out about Jacob Marley. Now, I'm going to play this bit for you because I thought it was quite interesting the way they dealt with the backstory of Jacob Marley. So have a listen to this.
Scrooge once had a partner named Jacob Marley. But on Christmas Eve, 7 years before, Marley had died. Marley and Scrooge were similar in that they both had no friends, no family, and no hearts. Scrooge was the only one at Marley's funeral, and even he was not very sad. In fact, shortly after Marley died, Scrooge completely stopped thinking about him.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting way of doing it, them telling us the story of Jacob Marley, because this is a short one, like I say, it's 20 minutes long. So for them to add stuff in like that, it helps along with the story. Then we see the face in the door knocker, then Scrooge is eating his gruel or whatever, and the bell rings, which I thought was nice that they'd kept that in. Again, this is a very short version, so they had the bell ringing, and then in comes Jacob Marley, warns him that he's been a bad boy and he's going to be haunted by three spirits. Scrooge goes to bed. Who should turn up? It's the Ghost of Christmas Past. The Ghost of Christmas Past, I think they've done a decent job, really. Like, it looks a bit chubby. He's like an old man, but the description is that he's got like youthful looks, and he has got like a jolly youthful glow about him. He's wearing a sort of tunic, and I've got to say, the skirt of the tunic is a little bit short, to be honest. Shorter than I would have liked. If he came around my house, he's sort of like, well, careful when you sit down, mate, because people are going to get an eyeful. Now, we don't see Scrooge as a young boy, so they cut that bit out altogether. That's fine. I'll let it pass. It is a short version, like I keep reminding you. So we do get to see Fezziwig's Christmas party. And yeah, pretty much it's Fezziwig's Christmas party. He mentions Dick Wilkins by name. Not Dick Wilkins, just calls him Dick, which is a bit rude if you ask me. And at the party, the narrator tells us that he spent the whole time dancing with the prettiest girl there. Then it cuts to him and Belle splitting up. I don't think they mention her name as Belle. It says the same girl that he was dancing with at the party, which, as we all know from the book, is not where he met her. Belle's not even mentioned at Fezziwig's party, but that's fine. We know that most adaptations do put that in there. She dumps him. He goes home. Next, it's the Ghost of Christmas Present. Of course, as you know, Ghost of Christmas Present comes, takes him straight to Bob Cratchit's house. They're having a good look around, and this annoyed me a little bit for an adaptation that I thought was doing a pretty good job. I'll play it for you. Listen to this.
Mrs. Cratchit was dressed in a poor and simple dress, but she had a smile as she cooked the Christmas turkey, prepared the gravy, and dished out the applesauce.
Hear that? What are they having for Christmas dinner? Well, I know what they should be having for Christmas dinner, and that's a goose. And I'll tell you what they are having in this version, and that's a turkey. And that's fine, but it's not fine. Then there's another bit where it says this, listen.
Even though their clothes were nearly rags and their house was humble, it was the most handsome family Scrooge had ever seen.
And it clearly states in the book, and I'm going to read this direct, they were not a handsome family. And then it goes on to explain why they're not a handsome family, which is pleasant. Like, why say it was the most handsome thing he'd ever seen if that goes completely against the book? You're out of order. I'm furious. Not furious. I'll let it pass. The description of Tiny Tim. Listen to this.
Tiny Tim was very sick, and his legs never did work.
Yeah, his legs never did work. They never did work. Well, he's got his crutch. They sort of do something, don't they? Anyway. And then at the end of this scene, I hate to say it, Tiny Tim sounds really annoying. Have a listen to his line. Listen.
God bless everyone.
Yeah, just struck me as a bit annoying, really. I did not like his delivery at all. It was certainly no Robin Frog. Anyway. Then we go to Fred's house. And this is quite interesting. Purely in the fact that we only see Fred and his wife. But there are four wine glasses on the table. Now, I don't know if they're a pair of alcoholics that need two glasses each, or if there are other guests there. Because if there are other guests, they're not talking, and we don't get to see them at all. When I first watched it, I thought, oh, that's probably because, you know, the animation to animate a load of people is a bit tricky. But no, because Fezziwig's party, there's loads of them there. I don't know why they didn't just have two other people sat at the side just so you could see them there as well. But they didn't, and that's fine. It's not fine, that bit, actually. It's not fine. So then the Ghost of Christmas Present takes them off around the rest of London, right? Which is a bit like in the book where he takes them to loads of other places. But the places he takes them to, everyone's miserable. And the point of the Ghost of Christmas Present is he is showing Scrooge how great Christmas is. But in this version, the Ghost of Christmas Present is like, look, these guys are having it okay, but come and have a look at this lot. And the scene of the prison is a little bit harrowing, to be honest. Yeah. And it says the worst place of all was the prisons. And then it's like all these hands reaching up for Scrooge. I don't know. Yeah. And then Scrooge goes back to bed. So there's that. Then it's the turn of the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. Is it?
You must be the Ghost of Christmas Future.
Okay, then it's the turn of the Ghost of Christmas Future. I can sort of understand this a little bit, especially because this is for people learning English as a second language. So I guess they've had to move away from the Victorian dialogue and make it a lot clearer for people that are trying to learn English. So that does make sense. Fair enough. If you want to call him the Ghost of Christmas Future, you live your life the way you want to live your life. All right? If you want to live your life the wrong way, then that's how you're going to have to do it. We see some men talking in the street about some bloke who's died. We don't know it's Scrooge. Of course we do. We do know it's Scrooge. Then we see a lot of servants. They're not actually like a rag and bone shop like in the book. They're just at the person's house who's died, and they've got all the silverware on the table, and they're divvying it up and chucking it into bags. It's, come on, let's nick a load of spoons. That's pretty much what they do, actually. They steal a load of spoons, yeah. And general silverware is what they're going for. Then it takes us to Cratchit's house, and interestingly, they've gone with the fact that Tiny Tim's already been buried, whereas in the book, he's still upstairs, just lying there, dead. But he's, you know, he's not been buried yet. In this one, they talk about him actually being in the ground, which is sad. Yeah. And then we go to the graveyard, and that is it. Sorry, at this point, I should have said, I forgot to mention about the Ghost of Christmas Present. I'll do it now. What better time than 5 minutes after I should have said something? The Ghost of Christmas Present looks pretty much exactly like he's described in the book. They've done a fine job there. And the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, or Future, as they call it wrongly, he looks all right, but you can see his face. It's like a dark, very dark blue face with lines on it for like eyes and a mouth. Yeah, so it's like a hooded figure, but he has got, you do see his face. Whereas in the book, you know, it says that you don't see his face, you just see the folds of his robe. But that's their choice, not mine, again. Then Scrooge wakes up, talks to the boy in the street. Does the boy in the street say Walker? And no! I wasn't expecting it, but I was quite impressed that they had the boy in the street anyway. Sends a turkey to Bob Cratchit. Bob Cratchit's there, or his wife, I don't know which one's going, oh look, we got two turkeys now. Someone sent us one, even though we had a perfectly decent one in the first place. What a waste of turkeys. Those weren't his exact words. In fact, those weren't even his sentiments. But they're my sentiments. Then Scrooge goes round his nephew's house, and I like this bit as well, again, because it's such a short version, it's quite impressive that they did mention the fact that Scrooge sort of walked up and down the street, or was nervous before going in there and had to rush up to the door to build up the courage to knock on the door. And he knocks on the door, and now there's three people sat at the table, and they've got five wine glasses. So I guess Scrooge isn't as big a drunkard as his nephew and his niece, but he's still putting it away. He's the only one actually holding a glass. The other two aren't. They're like, we're just having a breather. I don't know. And then it's the very end bit, and it just talks about how Scrooge looks after everyone, and he becomes a wonderful human being, which, of course, is what should happen. And that's it. And do you know what? I'm not going to disrespect it too much. I've said the bad stuff. Actually, I will say one bad thing about it. For some reason, they keep adding sound effects that they do not need. I don't know if it's part of like the learning aspect of it. Maybe they play these sounds so you recognise certain words or something. I don't know, but it's annoying. Have a listen to this.
Ebenezer Scrooge was perhaps the cheapest, most cold-hearted, mean-spirited man that ever lived. He had no friends. On the street, not even the beggars would beg from him.
So that was just two sound effects you didn't need. I don't know why they're there. I don't know. Yeah, but generally, as short versions go, like I said, it's 20 minutes long. They didn't, well, less than 20 minutes long, and they didn't miss out many beats at all. Most of it was in there. There's a lot of versions I've seen that have missed out a lot more than this one did. So they've, yeah, done a decent enough job. So, well, I was going to say it's not a bad one for the kids to start with, but really I think it is more, it's a good way for someone who's second language is English. It's a good way for them to get into the story. Maybe your kids might be a bit bored by it. It's not lively. It's just what it is. Yeah. Anyway, I'll put the link up on Facebook. If you want to watch it on YouTube, you can. If you don't, you know, I've explained to you what happens in it. And you've listened, hopefully. Or you've been doing what you're doing. Whatever. Something's happened, hasn't it, in the last 10 minutes. Time passed. Things happened. Now we're doing this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
It's Bob Baker's first part of the show, our self-appointed podcast barman. He is going to be talking about a word that some of you might find offensive. I'm not going to tell you what the word is. He's going to. It's a word that we use. That's all I'll say. Take it away, Bob.
I had to settle a fight recently at the Tiki Bar. I said, of course size matters. Nobody wants a small drink. So, is there a better show for Do You Hear What I Hear than Ted Lasso? For those not in the know, this show on Apple TV is about, well, Ted Lasso. He's an American college football coach who is hired to coach an English soccer team, which is, of course, a different kind of football. It is the classic fish-out-of-water storyline, with Ted experiencing the unique aspects of an American living and working in England. Ted expresses the way I often feel when I'm exploring the words on Total Christmas. Well, Ted Lasso did have a Christmas episode in Season 2, and it is a good one. It's filled with the same folksy, optimistic charm of the series. However, right in the middle of this holiday cheer, there is a running gag where a local old man repeatedly calls Ted a wanker. It stands out, especially since it happens when Ted is in a Santa hat and right in front of his boss Rebecca, who is dressed as an elf. My TC ears were tingling. Wanker? That is not something that you will hear on my side of the Atlantic, but you may be afraid to ask. What is a wanker? Now, this is relatively new slang, having first been used in the 1940s. The original definition is what some of you may have already guessed. The term originates from the verb wank, which means self-gratification, especially for males. But nobody knows where this word came from. I suppose it is kind of like in the US, where the term jerk-off has been shortened to jerk. I mean, they both initially meant the same thing. But now, what used to be a macho put-down has become a more general insult, meaning someone who is arrogant, annoying, egotistical, or a show-off. We Americans find the term wanker kind of funny, although it is more offensive in England than we might think of here in the States. Phil Collins was the first to use the word in his 1984 cameo appearance on Miami Vice, and so he is credited with first introducing the term wanker to America. Now, you can also hear it expressed in several holiday films, like Last Christmas, Bridget Jones' Diary, and Iron Man 3. But given its history and rudeness, I will try not to use it like some crude wanker. Oops, sorry. Cheers and happy Christmas.
So here's the thing about the word that he was talking about. I can say it. He said it a lot of times. Why can't I say it? Wanker. Wanker, wanker, wanker. It's not that major a swear word, really. I suppose you'd hear it after 9 o'clock on TV. Yeah, and no one wants to be called it, but there was a time when everyone was being called a wanker. It's not like it's fallen out of fashion, but there are other words people use. But yeah, wanker. Great word. when you think about it... yeah, when you think about it, it's just a word. What a great word, though. It's just a great word. Yeah, so if you're calling someone a wanker, you're not specifically referring to the act, but if you are referring to the act, that's the word you use. Like, what'd you do last night? Well, I had a, you know, that's... let's not go into it. One thing I want to say, though, is there was an episode of The Simpsons. The episode was called Trash of the Titans, and it had Steve Martin, who was like in charge of trash collection in Springfield, and Homer wanted his job because they'd refused to collect his rubbish because he was rude to... I'm not going to go into the whole story, but you too turned up in this episode, the band, and there's a bit at the very end. You know, sometimes on The Simpsons, they don't do it often, but sometimes they'll like have a little bit of story carry on while the credits are rolling, and Mr. Burns called the guys out of U2 wankers. Yeah. And that showed in the UK at like 6 p.m. in the evening. But it did get a lot of complaints, like about 30 complaints, I think I read somewhere. So that's the word of the day. Go and use it when chatting to your friends and family, or not. Probably best if you don't. It's a mild swear word in the UK, you know, but it's a humorous swear word, so you can sort of get away with it a lot of time. Anyway, that's that word. Now it's time for this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. Okay, boys and girls, last episode I got 5 out of 10. That's not my fault, okay? That's someone else's fault. I haven't figured out whose fault it is yet, but when I catch them, oh, there's going to be hell to pay. So this episode, I'm hoping to get a good... I'm aiming for A. If I can get A every episode, I'm happy with that. So, this is the deal. Okay, now it's slightly different to last episode because what happens is I ask 10 questions, then I give you 10 answers. The reason this is different is because the questions are different. So I'm not asking you the same questions I asked you last episode, am I? They're different questions. Yeah. It'd be a bit weird if they weren't, wouldn't it? Imagine that if I just asked the same questions every week. Maybe I should start doing that. I'll start doing that and I'll see if anyone notices. I'm sure they won't. I'm sure everyone's fast-forwarding this bit. Should I just start? I'm starting. It's happening. Things are happening. Are you ready? In the film Home Alone, to which city did all the family go for Christmas except for Kevin, who got left behind? He was left home alone. Right, where did they go? Where did this family go? Question number two. Despite being born into a Jewish family in 1942, which female American singer recorded the albums A Christmas Album and Christmas Memories? Born into a Jewish family in 1942, female American... You heard the question. What do you want from me? Question number three. You should get this one if you listen to my podcast. I can't remember what episode I covered it in, but here we go. It's a really easy question anyway. It pretty much gives it away. The question itself gives the story. Whamageddon is a game played from the 1st of December till Christmas Eve in which players have to avoid hearing what song by Wham? What song could that be? And should they do so, they must declare via social media that they have lost the game. There you go. Right, next one. Which American singer / songwriter sings Getting Ready for Christmas Day on his 2011 album, So Beautiful or So What? Who's that? American singer-songwriter. You heard the question. Question number something or other. According to the song lyrics, what was the weather conditions that made Santa call on Rudolph to guide his sleigh one Christmas Eve? That's an easy one, isn't it? That's what we want. We want them all like that. So we're not actually testing ourselves. That's how we want to live our lives. Take it easy. Right. What is the first name of Blackadder, a Victorian moustache shop proprietor, in the 1988 one-off Christmas special episode, Blackadder's Christmas Carol? If you haven't seen that, it's fantastic. And the only reason I haven't covered it yet on my show is because it's been covered in other podcasts. So I'm sort of leaving it a bit. And I probably will, maybe later this year, maybe next year, maybe the year after. I don't know when. Next question. Who plays Susan's mother in the 1947 film Miracle on 34th Street? Whom? Whom, I ask? Whom? Whom is playing Susan's mother? Question number... Oh, don't know. Don't... That's a difficult question. What question number is it? That should be the next question. It's not. Which male and female entertainers made an album in 2012 called This Christmas, their first record since they had last recorded together for a major 1978 musical film that they starred in? Okay? That bit at the end is the clue you need. I knew this one. You should know it too. Which 2015 Christmas horror comedy film starring Toni Collette concerns Max Engel, a young Santa-believing boy in a squabbling, dysfunctional family who encounters a devilish spirit on Christmas Eve? What's that one then? Do you know it? No, don't tell me yet. Wait till I bring the answers out. Last one. Which author is the subject of Les Standiford's 2008 book, The Man Who Invented Christmas, which was adapted for the 2017 film of the same title, starring Dan Stevens in the title role? Goodness. That was a long question, wasn't it? For a short answer. Right, that's your 10 questions, though. How'd you get on? How many? Well, you can't tell me how many you've got, because I haven't given you the answers yet. You could be wrong. Right, here come the answers. Question number one. In the film Home Alone, to which city did all the family go for Christmas, except for Kevin, who got left behind? They had gone to Paris. Okay? Okay. Question number two. Despite being born into a Jewish family in 1942, which female American singer recorded their albums A Christmas Album and Christmas Memories? Get that one? That was Barbara Streisand. And I got that one, so I'm really proud of myself. Question number three, Whamageddon. What song is that? Whamageddon. It's easy, isn't it? Last Christmas. I gave you my heart. The very next day, you gave it away. I was furious. Question number something. which American singer-songwriter sings Getting Ready for Christmas Day on his 2011 album, which was called So Beautiful or So What? Do you know who that was? I did not know, I wouldn't lie to you. It was Paul Simon. A question number something. According to the song lyrics, what was the weather conditions that made Santa call on Rudolph to guide his sleigh one Christmas Eve? The answer, of course, is it was a foggy Christmas Eve. Foggy. Next one. What is the first name of Blackadder, a Victorian moustache shop proprietor in the 1988 one-off Christmas special episode Blackadder's Christmas Carol? That was, of course, Ebenezer, wasn't it? Ebenezer Blackadder. Because it's a Christmas Carol, isn't it? Question number something or other. Who plays Susan's mother in the 1947 film Miracle on 34th Street? Do you know what? If it had been the remake, I could have told you. Couldn't remember this one. I could not remember her name. I could not remember Maureen O'Hara's name. I can remember Natalie Wood. Susan, I've let myself down. I feel like I've let you down, but I also feel like it's Christmas, it's a time for forgiveness, so you're going to forgive me. So that's good news. Question, I don't know. Don't stop asking me what question number is. Which male and female entertainers made an album in 2012 called This Christmas? Their first record since they had last recorded together for a major 1978 musical film that they starred in. Okay, the clue there, a major 1978 musical film, it was Grease, and it was John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. Yeah, they had an album in 2012 called This Christmas. Question number something. Which 2015 Christmas horror comedy film starring Toni Collette, etc, etc, etc? It was Krampus. Have you seen Krampus? I didn't really care for it. It was all right. I didn't like the ending where it all turned out that they lived. I won't spoil it for you. And the last one, which author is the subject of Les Standiford's 2008 book, The Man Who Invented Christmas? Well, that's an easy one, isn't it? Eh? It was Mark Twain. So, let's see. No, it was Charles Dickens. Of course it was Charles Dickens. Goodness. Right, how many did you get? Do you want to know how many I got? And then you can see if you beat me. Add up your score. This could take some time. Use your skills. Add it up. Right, I scored 8, which is what I was aiming for. So I was happy with that. Yeah, I didn't get the Paul Simon one. And I also didn't get the Maureen O'Hara one, as I stated. So I'm chuffed that I got that John Travolta one, though. Because I only found that out the other day. I was looking up, for some reason, I was reading about John Travolta. I can't even remember why, but I was looking him up on Wikipedia and it had a discography. And I noticed that he had a song with Olivia Newton-John that was like a Christmas one. So yeah, I'm really proud of that. Anyway, that is the quiz. Now let's move on and do this. Here it is, boys and girls. Once again, I'm reading the joke from my Christmas joke toilet roll. Brace yourselves, hold yourselves down, get some fresh pants ready because you know you're going to wet the ones you're wearing. It's going to happen. Here it comes. Why was Santa's little helper depressed? Because he suffered from low elf esteem. Now, to be honest, I don't know if we should be laughing at that. And I don't mean laughing about being depressed or about low self-esteem. I mean, we shouldn't be laughing at jokes that are as bad as that. We're going to move on.
I'm singing, I'm in a store and I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Boys and girls, all right, let me tell you something very quickly. Two and a half years ago, Christmas was coming, and they always, you'll get a list, you know, there'll be a list of songs that are contending for the Christmas number one. One of those songs was Santa Baked Potato by Matt Lucas. And I just thought, oh, what's that about? Why is he singing a song about Santa Baked Potato? There was a lot of songs that came out in Christmas 2020, novelty songs that were all trying to raise money for people that had suffered through COVID. I figured that's what it was, just like a charity single, but I knew nothing else about it. I never heard it all through the Christmas, nothing at all. That was Christmas 2020, so 2.5 years ago at the time of recording. Fast forward till now, I'm going to tell you the whole story, but this is what started it all off. On Sunday, me and the girls were walking around the car boot sale. Don't judge me on the fact that I love a car boot sale. I've discussed it before. It's where I buy all my best stuff, okay? I like the car boot sale. We're in the car boot sale. We see this book, Santa Baked Potato. I show it to the girls, say, do you want to get this? And they're like, yeah. Just they like picture books. They're like Christmas. It's a Christmas picture book. They're happy with that. So we bought it. It cost me 50p. I broke the bank on that one, but you know, that's fine. I paid my money. I got my book. I bought other things. I don't want to go into everything I bought at the car boot sale, but that's one thing I did buy. Actually, I'll tell you what, if you want to find out what we did buy, listen to the girls' podcast. Robin, I think, or Juno, they list all the crap I bought. Anyway, well, I'm not talking about that. I got this book, and then I read it, and I'm thinking, oh, this is one of those song books. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this. The first time I found one of these, I've been to the library with the girls, and they had a book called Moon River, and I flicked through. I thought, oh, this is just the song Moon River set to pictures. And that's what it was. But since then, I've seen like loads of other ones, like Ringo Starr did Octopus's Garden. Mariah Carey did a book of her song, and it's about all someone wants for Christmas. I think it's a dog at the end of the book. I've seen the book. Didn't buy a copy of that one, though. Anyway, there's quite a lot of books that it's just the song lyrics and then set to pictures. This was one of those. This was Santa Baked Potato, the single from 2020. So then it got me sort of interested in it. And I looked into it and it goes back to like the 90s, the 1990s. We're talking the history of this song goes back to the 1990s. So I'm going to take you back to the 1990s. And when Matt Lucas, I've got to tell you about Matt Lucas. Matt Lucas was in a TV show called Little Britain. If you never watched Little Britain, interestingly, HBO made a version called Little America, and that actually was the same characters, Matt Lucas and David Walliams. They bought their TV show out in the States. Don't think it did very well. I watched it, wasn't very good. To be honest, I started off when I first watched Little Britain, thought it was really good. By the second series, I was like, come on, get some new jokes. It was just a lot of catchphrases and a lot of stupid characters. Tell you an interesting fact, they've stopped showing it. They've taken it off the BBC iPlayer because it's like there's bits where characters are dressed up as other ethnicities. So people weren't happy about that. So it's been cancelled, Little Britainers. Yeah, did you know that? You do know. Anyway, in the early 2000s, Matt Lucas was incredibly famous because of Little Britain. And it was like the biggest comedy show in the UK. God knows why. Anyway, so now he's almost like a national treasure to a degree. Not quite up there with David Walliams, his partner, because David Walliams started writing loads of kids' books. And he was one of the judges on Britain's Got Talent. Matt Lucas was one of the presenters on The Bake Off as well. And people love The Bake Off. I mentioned him, about 2-3 episodes ago? Do you remember when I talked about the single Naughty Christmas by Fat Les? Him and David Walliams were both in the video for the Naughty Christmas song. He was also in Bridesmaids. I mentioned that in the last time when I talked about him. And also, he played Tweedledum and Tweedledee in Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. And I think he was in Alice Through the Looking Glass as well. Yeah, he's quite famous. So, back in 1995, there's a TV show called Shooting Stars, and this was like a comedy quiz show, and you'd have like two teams of three celebrities, and they'd answer silly questions. It was loads of fun, and the guy that kept the scores was called George Dawes, who was played by Matt Lucas. This is where he first got famous. This is the catchphrase.
What are the Dawes? George Dawes.
So, some of the questions would be very silly, and sometimes Matt Lucas, who was always dressed up as a baby, he'd be wearing like a big romper suit and he'd be sat behind a set of drums. You have to watch it to understand it. I don't want to go into it too much. So in one of the episodes, George Dawes sings a song called the Baked Potato Song. I'm going to play the whole thing for you now. Here it comes.
Baked potato changed my life. Baked potato showed me the way. If you want to know what is wrong from right, you must listen to what potatoes say.
Do be good, don't be bad.
Potato.
Do be happy, don't be sad.
Thank you, baked potato. And if you want to have a better day, you must listen to what the baked potatoes say.
Do be early, don't be late.
Thank you, baked potato.
Always eat what's on your plate.
You want to have a better day, you must listen to what the baked potatoes say.
B-A-K-E-T-P-O-T-A-G-O.
Baked potatoes!
All also, a few seasons later, he did another song about baked potato getting married and then getting divorced. But that first one was fantastic. I don't know if you heard all the lyrics. So pretty much all of the baked potato's lines are, do be good, don't be bad. Do be happy, don't be sad. Do be early, don't be late. Always eat what's on your plate. That's the advice the baked potato gives you. So it's lovely. It's a lovely thing. So then, fast forward 20 odd years, and there's been a massive lockdown. We've had a pandemic, and the staff that are working for the NHS are really overworked, and everyone's struggling. You know, we all know what we went through. And so Matt Lucas decides to record a version of that song to raise money for the NHS workers. And so this was the song. I'll play a bit for you now. This is the new version.
If you want to know what is wrong from right, you must listen to what potatoes say.
Wash your hands and stay indoors.
Thank you, baked potato.
Only visit grocery stores.
Thank you, baked potato.
And if you want to have a better day, you must listen to what the baked potatoes say.
Keep your distance, make some space.
Thank you, baked potato.
Remember not to touch your face.
Thank you, baked potato. And if you want to have a better day, you must listen to what the baked potatoes say.
So, as I'm sure you heard there, he's changed it. So instead of it saying, do be good, don't be bad, it says, wash your hands and stay indoors. Only visit grocery stores. Keep your distance, make some space. Remember not to touch your face. That's the advice that the baked potato gives you. And there was a big push to try and get it in the charts and that. And he recorded it like through Zoom links with loads of famous celebrities. So he's there singing it with Rick Astley. Yeah. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Gary Barlow. Gary Barlow is the lead singer out of Take That, which is Britain's biggest ever boy band. And you're thinking, oh, a couple of British celebs. Yeah. Josh Gad. Yeah. Josh Gad on there. Singing it with him, doing a duet, and he does a very good job as well. In fact, why not get yourself on YouTube and have a look at some of the versions of the song? It's very nice. It was released as a single. It got to, are you ready? Number 34. That's not massive. Okay, it wasn't a huge hit. It was a very small hit, but it was a hit nonetheless, and people liked it. Some people liked it. Christmas is coming, so why not release another version about a Christmas baked potato? So that's what he did. And he released a book to coincide with it using the lyrics from the song. So this is the song I wanted to talk to you about, Christmas Baked Potato. It's completely different. None of it is about COVID or staying safe. It's all about Santa Baked Potato. It's pretty much, instead of Santa Claus, you've got a baked potato. Let me just play some bits of it for you. Have a listen to this.
If you look high up in the sky, I'm talking higher than a parrot, you'll see a root veg flying by. And no, I do not mean a carrot. We've spent the whole year waiting for this day. Santa baked potatoes on his way.
So it's an animated video. It's like the whole thing's a cartoon. And you've got Matt Lucas there, a cartoon version of him, singing the song. And you've got baked potato flying through the air and doing his lines as well. And it's nice. It's like, it's ideal for kids. Yeah, and so when I read the book to my daughter Juno, I'm there reading it, I'm going, I think this is probably a song, but I couldn't quite figure out how the lyrics would scan in a song. So we sat there on my phone, she's watching it while I read through the book. And the book is literally the lyrics to the song. And yeah, I think the song's really nice. I think it is. It was a good song. And it was released as a hopeful Christmas number one. It didn't even make the charts. Didn't. From what I could see, I've looked right into it. It didn't even break. And to make the charts, you've got to get in the top, I think, top 75. Didn't even get in the top 75. Hadn't got that many hits on YouTube either. It's a real shame, though, because it's a lovely song. Really good. And what else is a real bloody shame is Lad Baby was the Christmas number one. Again, with his hilarious songs about sausage rolls. Oh, congratulations, Lad Baby. Get off my Christmas number one. You don't belong there anymore. Once was fine. Twice was good. Three times. I'm getting a bit sick of you. Four. He's on his fifth time now. Just go home. Or not. It's all for charity. I don't want to go into Lad Baby. I mean, even if Lad Baby hadn't been out that year, the fact that it didn't even break the top 75 means it wasn't exactly a contender for the Christmas number one, was it? Let me play another bit. I like it.
We love you, Santa Baked Potato.
Santa Baked Potato loves you too.
What goes on in your butter?
So I think the problem we had here was people didn't really know what the deal was with the baked potato. I mean, only the original song only hit number 34 in the charts. That still, you know, probably didn't get a massive amount of airplay. People didn't really know what it was about. So then he brings out the Christmas one, and I didn't know anything about his original baked potato song. I don't even remember the one from Shooting Stars. And I used to love watching Shooting Stars, the TV show we discussed earlier. So I don't remember any of that. And I didn't know anything about the baked potato song. All I heard was about the Christmas baked potato. And I remember thinking, well, what's that about then? But I never even heard the song because it never got any airplay. So that was it. But it's a nice song. You know, in this segment, I always talk about songs that I think should be classics but aren't. Well, it'd be nice if this one. It's not going to be a classic. It's forgotten about, I think. Tell you someone else is funny. The book review, actually, let me play this.
Book review, book review.
Christmas.
Book review!
The book looks just like the cartoon. It's just scenes from the cartoon, you know, the music video written to lyrics. It says in it, the book that inspired the Christmas single. It's like, well, no, it's clearly the other way around because the book is the lyrics to the song. But that's fine. I was reading some of the reviews on Amazon. And people are saying, well, it doesn't rhyme properly. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's not even a story. And it's like, yeah, you didn't really get the idea, did you? This is a songbook. It's not a story. There is no story in it. It's just a song. And if they knew and they were watching the song along with it, because they're all saying, and my children didn't like it. It was a rubbish song. It's a nice book. My girls like it. But I think mainly the reason they like it is because they've sung along to the song and they like the song. And it's a cool song. I think it's a great song. And it's a nice book as well. But the book wouldn't be so good if I weren't aware of the song. Anyway, I think you should check it out. Have a watch of the video. It's well written, well recorded. Matt Lucas does a great job singing it. I mean, it's not massively festive. Although it's about Christmas and it's about Santa baked potato, it doesn't sound that Christmassy, but it's a lovely song. Come on, let's move on. We've had enough. We've talked about this far too long. Let's do this.
Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day.
It's time for Bob's second segment now. It's Christmas every day, and he is going to be talking... Well, I'll let him tell you what he's talking about. Here, Bob, have a biscuit.
Well, thanks, Jack. Today's suggestion for Christmas every day is a good idea, and one that I plan to adopt and implement right away. I have to thank listener Ty Virgin, who I admit has such a great name for a Christmas podcast. Although, it would be better if his first name was Ron and his middle name was John. Now, Ty says that he is starting a new tradition by drinking a Christmas pint on the 25th of each month. I love this. I will now be having a festive ale every time I am scratching off my holiday lottery ticket. I just wish I could buy one versus a 4 or a 6 pack. The timing is perfect as I was in my local liquor store, which is what we call the place where we buy alcoholic beverages in the Midwest, but I know that others call it a package store or a packy or party store. But the one I was in had several Christmas beers on sale in a clearance area, and I was tempted to buy some, and now I have a good reason to do so. I love my festive drinks, and I have a favorite bar that offers a gift if you drink the 12 beers of Christmas every year. So I have the flannel shirts and the jumpers and the barware prizes to prove it. Now I know Jack is going to offer some of his holiday favorites as well. But if you have a festive concept that you want to make a new holiday tradition, why don't you share it with Jack over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop, and I will present it here.
You know, I want to do a segment on this. I am going to. I'm going to talk about the most festive drink. I'm not doing it in this episode because I've run out of time, so I'll have to do it in the next episode. I've sort of let myself down a bit. Okay, don't hate me for that. Love me. Because I'm beautiful. I'm not, actually. Most of you haven't even seen me. I'm not beautiful. I'm not that ugly. I do all right. You know, my wife's attractive. Let's not talk about what I look like. Let's talk about Bob. Because, boys and girls, Bob has... I have an announcement on Bob's behalf. Because Bob has his own podcast. Yes! Yeah, he's competing against me. He's like, Jack, your podcast is crap. I can do better than that. This was his exact words. That's not how he worded it, but there was, sorry, these were his exact sentiments, is what I'm saying. It was pages and pages of how bad my podcast is and why his podcast is so much better. And what he talks about is, actually, no, sorry, that's the end of Christmas Every Day. Let's just move on, because that's this episode's recommendation. Let's do this, come on. This episode's recommendation is Festive Foreign Film Fans, hosted by my dear friend Bob Baker and his mate. I could tell you about it, but I don't need to, because they've recorded this. Here it comes.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And I'm Mark.
And we are the Festive Foreign Film Fans.
Try saying that three times fast.
I know. We read your minds. Among all those angry hosts and shows with people doing bad things to each other.
Plus the many Tis the Cozy Total Christmas in the 80s podcast you were thinking. You know, the world needs another Christmas podcast.
And why not? All those murderers, they get so many popular shows. But what about Christmas? It never killed anyone. So join us on the 6th and the 25th of each month as we explore our shared humanity and the movies and music of different countries through a common holiday that we all share.
And we may offer some relationship advice or even solve a crime or two.
Wow!
Festive Foreign Film Fans, coming in June to a podcast channel near you.
They talk about, yeah, pretty much that's it. They talk about festive foreign films, films about Christmas from other countries. There's a few podcasts out there that talk about Christmas movies. And I say a few, there's quite a lot. But they don't talk about the foreign ones. So they've got their own niche on this one. And it's really interesting because it opens up a whole new world. Because we could spend all day talking about It's a Wonderful Life or versions of A Christmas Carol. God, who wants to listen to that? But instead, we got other ones you'd never even heard of. So, yeah, I've listened to it. Him and his mate, it's great listening to them. They've got great chemistry. They're fun. It's an upbeat podcast that I know you're really going to enjoy. Like you said there, it comes out on the 6th and the 20th of every month. So the first episode is going to be 2 days after this one drops. So what I'm saying to you now is, in 2 days' time, get out there and download it. I'm going to put links in the show notes. Now, I'm not 100% sure if the links that I put in are going to be live. They shouldn't be live, would they? I don't know. I'm going to put links in the show notes. I'll probably have to change the show notes. So if you're listening to this, how about I just say this? I'll put it up on Facebook, and then in the next episode, I'll put links on the show notes, and I'll probably change the links on the show notes. Just go and listen to the bloody thing, all right? Crikey. I'd have to do everything for you. You don't need to be spoon-fed these things, do you? I won't lie to you, it is very hard to spoon-feed someone a podcast. It's difficult because you can't get the sounds to sit on the spoon. I've tried it. I've tried it so many times, and it doesn't work. Right. That is this episode's podcast. I know you'll enjoy it because it's something new and it's Christmas, so that's fantastic. Plus, it's also my mate Bob and his mate, and he must be nice if Bob likes him. Go and check it out. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed shouting at a microphone for, how long have I been doing it? 3 hours. I know I'm going to be lucky if I get 40 minutes out of this. There we go. Anyway, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. If you want to get in touch, what's stopping you? What is stopping you from getting in touch with me and emailing me and saying, you know what, Jack, your podcast sucks, but you're probably a good guy deep down. And I'd like to think I am deep down, actually. I do my best. I try to. Anyway, send me an email, it's totalchristmas@gmail.com, or go on a website, which I haven't updated, but it's got to be coming on 3 years now. Yeah, but the RS feed is on there, you see, so, you know, if people find the website, they still get the latest episode, because it updates, it's like, who cares? Yeah, that's totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time with more of the same. In the meantime, you know I love you. Actually, thinking about it. Do you remember I wanted to talk about Christmas drinks? If you've got a Christmas drink, email me about that. Then in the next episode, I can talk about your Christmas drink. It's easy. I'll just open my mouth and words come out. That's what talking is. But the subject matter, well, you don't need me to explain this to you. Right. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, I love you. You know I love you. Happy Merry Christmas.
You know, Nick, there's been one thing that's been eating at me since I've been here. That naughty nice list that you got. There's no naughty kids, Nick. They're all good kids. But some of them are scared. And some of them don't feel listened to. Some of them had some pretty tough breaks, too. But every kid deserves a present on Christmas.